What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Yes, that lion horns on the right, babe. Not that Mackey's back in time.
On the fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours as we take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Big Zoo on the other side. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019 on this Wednesday morning. Hope everyone is doing well. We got some baseball to talk about. We'll get to the football as well, but let's start with the Mets as they finished most recently and a difficult loss for them as they fall to the Padres 7-1, following a 7-game winning streak with back-to-back losses out west. They are now only a half a game up as Philadelphia caught up or picked up a game, and they are a half a game up over Philly as we are now just a day, really, away from the trade deadline. And as you watch this game last night, first off, crisis averted. Can you imagine right now if both of these teams had Aaron Judge and Juan Soto on the IL? As we get ready for the trade, right before the trade deadline, right as we're looking to make these pennant pushes, to have both of them significantly hurt. Thankfully, we got news on both, as if you hadn't seen, Juan Soto hits a ball off his leg, ends up exiting the game. X-rays are negative. He's day-to-day. We'll see. Hopefully, they give him a little bit of time because he could probably use it. But ultimately, that is the biggest outcome of this game. The biggest thing of this game is Juan Soto is healthy. But when you look at this team, right, because we talked about and we're going to continue to talk about the trade deadline. And for me, yesterday, Vientos, I don't want to trade him. The star power of Mauricio. Everything that's going right with this team over a 7-game losing streak. Yesterday, you kind of chalked up the loss to kind of, all right, one of those bad games. You know, Montas didn't have a great performance. It's one of those weird back-and-forth games. You look at this team right now, and yeah, you look at the trade deadline, and you look at the bullpen. Obviously, as every report comes out, they're in on this, they're in on that. So many different things, and we'll get to it in just a second here, because they do need some help either in the starting rotation or with multiple arms in the bullpen. And I've already told you, I believe the Mets have an opportunity here. When you look at these two teams, and we'll get to the Yankees in a second and their victory over the Rays, a much-needed win for them, and obviously a lot to get into, a lot of meat on the bone with Anthony Volpe and the rest of this offense. But you look at the Mets and the Yankees at the trade deadline. The Yankees are trying to plug holes to be a functional baseball team to get back to what they were at the start of the year and go out and have a chance to chase something. I look at the Mets and I look at a team that has the possibility to be one of, if not the best team in the National League. And I still feel that way, even after two losses. Let's be honest, why wouldn't I? But I look at some of the problems, and let's just start with this game and what the issue is with this team. Because there's one particular issue that there's nothing they can do to fix at the trade deadline. Like, we'll talk about the rotation and getting more innings and not being so reliant on the bullpen as they sent down Brazoban earlier in the game, earlier in the day, as he's been struggling as of late. Hopefully he can find himself and come back up. They're going to try and, you know, build him up, maybe to have him as a long man or whatever the case may be. Right, you definitely need some bullpen arms. You could use a starting pitcher. There's talks about a center fielder. Obviously, this offense could use some punch. But that's the issue for me. Because right now, this offense is just not consistently hitting with runners in scoring position. And it's been a problem all year. And it lies at the feet of the stars. It lies at the feet of the players you can't replace. It lies at the feet of the players that you can't overcome at the deadline or you can't improve at the deadline. You look at this team right now, you look at the opportunities they had in this game, whether it's bases loaded down one run with nobody out, and they come across with one run in the game. Big strikeout from Lindor. They were talking about it on the postgame on SNY. Do you know that two of the lowest batting averages in the month of July in all of the National League are Lindor and Pete Alonso? That they are both hitting under 200. Pete Alonso has been a shell of the monster we saw start the beginning of this year. Francisco Lindor is a shell of the captain who took over the team with the team meeting and then had an MVP-esque season last year. You look at, in this game, Nimmo, the top of the order, the Fab Four. Nimmo 0 for 3. Lindor 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Soto 0 for 2 in the 2 at-bats he has. He gets hurt, obviously. Pete Alonso 0 for 3. You're getting, at least you're getting the Vientos. You know, he had a couple of good at-bats. He gets 2 hits. But the Fab Four, as the owner dubbed them, are instrumental to this team. Because as they were building the great record, as they were winning all those games early on, as they were taking the division lead back from Philadelphia, it was based on, you watch the game. The bottom of the order was giving you nothing. And when the top of the order hit, they won. And now we'll get to the pitching, and obviously it went through its issues. Now it's kind of back. Everyone's healthy. Manaea is a bulldog out there. He battles through, only gives you 5, which is a common theme throughout this team. And they're desperate for innings. And to me, I'm going to get to what I think they should do with the trade deadline in just a second. But they've got to figure out a way. Because, let's be honest, the same thing with the Yankees when we talk about them. Like, this offense without Judge, there's no more fixing that at the trade deadline. This is what it is. Last night, it was good. The night before, it felt like they were sleeping through the game. They need guys to come through. They probably need to hit home runs. That's who they are. The Mets are the top of this order. And it's nice when Torrens gets a big hit. Last year, it was really nice when Taylor came through and was an excellent, you know, defensive center fielder who happened to get big hits. It's nice when Alvarez comes back from the minor leagues and starts to contribute, and you need him to contribute. And it's certainly nice when Vientos starts to wake up and turns back to what he was last year. That'd be as big as anything this team can do. But you can go add another bat if you'd like in center field. And I know they're talking about possibly Mullins, which I don't know is that much of an upgrade. And obviously Luis Robert in Chicago, who it feels like even just the talk of becoming someone else besides a Chicago White Sox has kind of sparked him. And he's having a much better last couple weeks than he's had this entire season. But nothing is going to change Lindor, even Soto, let's be honest. Soto's hitting .248. Now, he's been good. He should have been an all-star. 900 OPS. He's on pace for pretty much the same amount of home runs as he hit last year with the New York Yankees for a career high. But the percentage of solo home runs is through the roof. And it still doesn't feel like he's making that impact you need him to. Pete Alonso hasn't been that guy since May or early June. Lindor is swinging through high fastballs like it's his job, and he hasn't been able to come through almost, you know, outside of maybe April. Like, he was bad for the first week of the season, then he got hot, and he has not been the same player. There are things you can change. There are things you can help. There are things that have been hampering this team all year. And as I watched the game last night, bases loaded, can't come through. You get OMG making a terrible play defensively, throws to second base for the final out of an inning when the second baseman's not covering. You have an opportunity, can't come through. That has been the MO of this team all year long. And when you get to the postseason, right, and we could say till we're blue in the face that we trust these guys in the postseason, that Lindor was incredible last year in the postseason. And Pete Alonso, obviously after the home run against Devin Williams, went on a tear in the postseason. And Juan Soto is about as proven a postseason player as you could possibly be. But that doesn't change what we're seeing this season, and that needs to change. And we could talk about the trade deadline, and I'm going to in just a second here in the open. But as I watch this team on a daily basis, what's preventing them from being the best team in the National League? What's preventing them from being someone I implicitly trust as the team that can go out there and dominate baseball games? It's not the idea that the pitchers don't throw enough innings. It's not the idea that the bullpen needs help. It's not the idea that they're missing one more bat at the bottom of the lineup. It's that the top guys, the superstars, are not having the kind of season you need. And they are not coming through consistently enough with runners in scoring position. Pete Alonso and Lindor are particularly one of the two worst hitters in all of the National League over the last month and a half, and it's not good enough. And now it's two games. I don't think anyone is saying that there's panic. They're a good baseball team. They continue to throw out good quality starts, although not deep enough. But this offense and the top of the order has to be better. And your stars have to be stars. And, you know, Soto is having a similar star-type season, but he's not producing and coming through with the big hits like you'd like him to do. And Lindor and Alonso are a shell of themselves. And there's a conversation now. I heard someone calling Keith as I was driving in about, you don't want Alonso anymore. Like, I'm telling you, it is a weird, the Pete Alonso situation is weird. Because at the beginning of the year, I thought he was playing himself so well into a contract that that David Stearns wouldn't want to give a 30-something lumbering first baseman. And I would have thought Steven would be like, listen, he's going to opt out. Now the bidding war that's going to ensue, you know, we just saw Vladimir Guerrero Jr. get big money for first baseman, the first real big first baseman contract that we've seen in recent times for this generation of baseball players in first base. Plus, he's not going to have the pick attached to him because they can't give him the qualifying offer twice. Plus, he's having a much better clutch season. He's far better defensively. He's playing great defense still to this day. And it's just like this, the money, the years could get up there if they get into a bidding war, and he's playing himself into that kind of contract, and now does David Stearns look at it and say, well, we got the best of him. I don't want to give him a long-term contract. Now it's going the other way where we are seeing the same type of second half that we saw the first half, or really the entire season last year, and you're wondering, how inconsistent is this dude? And is this the kind of player you want to have in the middle of your lineup? And yeah, he's going to break records, and yes, he's going to be the all-time Met this and the all-time Met that, and we saw earlier in this season, earlier this week, how important that is to this franchise and what David Wright could be. But you got to perform. And right now, they're in the middle of it. Now, they're in first place. They're half a game up on Philadelphia. They just came off a 7-game winning streak. But even through the winning, we have seen Lindor, we have seen Soto, and even to some extent, we have seen Soto not be the kind of player you need them to be. Now, what can they do to fix that at the deadline? Absolutely nothing. So what can they fix? Clearly, the Mets need to go out and be aggressive. There is no doubt in my mind that the Mets have an opportunity, as I said, to go out and win the whole damn thing. Because as much as I'm complaining about that, as I said, they are proven postseason players, and I don't expect them to be hitting under 200 or Soto at 248 and not hitting with runners in scoring position. As much as it's been now, what, 110 games like that? I don't expect it to continue forever. It scares me that it will, but I don't expect it necessarily. So to me, you want to go get Luis Robert? Okay. You want to go get an upgrade in the outfield? You could use another bat. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't know if it's going to change. Like, because I think if the top of the order hits, they'll be fine. And if the top of the order doesn't hit, I don't think Luis Robert, whoever they get in center field, is going to make that big of a difference. And you've already heard David Stearns more focused on the pitching. And as I look at the pitching, absolutely, man, every day they are throwing out a starter who has an opportunity to go out there and give the Mets a chance to win. There is no doubt about that. Every day, maybe Frankie Montas is making you a little nervous. But for the most part, they throw out a starting pitcher every day who gives you a chance to win. The problem is, and this is also a similar vein of the top of the order and the runners in scoring position, where it's been an issue the entire year, they're not getting deep enough into the game. So to me, you have two options here. And I don't know if David Stearns has it in him to do this. And again, we just don't know. And we know it's going to be harder than ever to go get bullpen guys in starting rotation. But like, to me, a back end of the rotation guy, which is kind of what we've been talking about, maybe a little bit of depth, another back end piece. What does that do for you? That doesn't do anything for you. If you're talking about innings, I can count on one hand the amount of starting pitchers in this league that consistently go out and give you 6-7 innings. We saw Max Fried do it last night. Believe it or not, Yankee fans, you got two of them because Carlos Rodon is typically one of those guys. There are few and far between, and at the deadline, you know, they've already taken out Seth Lugo, who signed a 2-year contract with the Royals, so he's off the market. Alcantara has been much better over his last starts, but at the beginning of the season, he was awful. Like, you've got Dylan Cease, who's overrated but can give you innings. Like, see, these are some of the names that are out there to me. And then the same thing with the relief pitching, right? We thought for a second, it hasn't been reported yet, but Johan Duran, the excellent closer for Minnesota, is hugging everybody and getting his butt cheeks grabbed out in the bullpen, feeling like he's saying goodbye to teammates because he's going to get traded. But, like, outside of him, Class A, obviously now dealing with being suspended for, you know, suspicion of gambling or whatever the hell's going on with him as they're looking into pitches inside that entire Cleveland Guardians, you know, rotation. To me, it's go be aggressive, but there's a lot of competition for the top. As we hear constantly, this trade deadline is the king of everybody reporting. You know, Bednar is being available for the made available by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And so far, half the league has reached out. Yeah, sure. A lot of people are interested in this reliever. As many as 7 different teams have checked in. How willing is David Stearns to go out there and make an impact? In the bullpen, you can try and throw numbers at it. In the bullpen, you could try and get some lesser guys who come in here and you find, you know, the way Hefner in this pitching lab can turn it into better. Fine, maybe. But if you're going to attack the starting rotation, the only thing that helps is top of the market. Are the Mets willing to do that? I wish they would. I wish they would, because I look around Major League Baseball, I look around the National League, and I don't know what next year is going to bring. I don't even know if they're going to play baseball in 2 years. I don't know what's going on. To me, there's a chance right now for this team to go out and win it right now. And if you get a starting pitcher of that ilk, guess what? As I've been saying for the last 2-3 weeks, you can move a proven relief pitcher like Clay Holmes into the bullpen, and it helps you there. But back end of the rotation, guys who just eat some innings, guys who are there in case you want to go, you know, a 6-man rotation or maybe even a 7-man rotation once around down the stretch because you're trying to, you know, alleviate some of the innings placed on guys who've been injured or haven't pitched or are, you know, converted relievers or whatever else you're trying to do. That's not going to impact this team. We're one day away. Go out there and try and get a top of the rotation starter because you need innings. You need a guy who can pitch you into the 7th. And they don't grow on trees, and they're not guys you can find for you know, some sort of prospect who's not reached double A yet. Go get some relievers. Go get a top of the rotation starter or someone who could pitch a playoff game for you and you feel can give you some innings. And go and attack this thing, because despite these last 2 losses, and one was a gut punch and the other one kind of just slipped away and Buteau wasn't very good, the offense didn't give you enough, And the bullpen eventually faltered to an offense that's struggling a little bit, but you give up a 3-run home run to Machado and the game gets away from you. You know you have an excellent closer. Stanek's been better. Reed Garrett's been better. You've already had to send down Barazaban. Buteau isn't nearly the weapon he was last year. You got to go find some arms, or you got to go get a top of the rotation starter. You got to do one or the other. You got to either throw the quantity at it in the bullpen or the quality at it at the top of the rotation. Either way, it's going to cost your prospects, and I just don't know how Stearns feels about it. But this team is too good. But there are issues that can't be fixed by the deadline as well. So to me, it's on the Stars being Stars, and this star executive coming from Milwaukee, the smarts of the mid-market executive matched with the financier, richest owner in baseball, the tag team that was supposed to take on the world. Now is the time. You got a day. Now, who knows what this trade deadline is like, but go be aggressive, go attack this thing, and go find someone who can throw innings, go find arms out of the bullpen. And I'm less concerned about a bat. You can go get a bat, that's fine. But to me, the offense is there if the guys who are there play. And the offense isn't there if Pete Alonso stinks. It's not there if you can just blow high fastballs past Lindor all day. Luis Robert's not going to change that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. So coming off the Mets loss, now two in a row. Now you go out and take the afternoon game tomorrow. Right, and it's a West Coast trip of a 6-game West Coast trip, and you come back 4-2. Excellent. Who cares if it was a sweep and a series loss or two series wins? You go out there, even a 3-3. Even if you get swept, it sucks to lose 3 games in a row. But a 500 West Coast trip isn't the worst thing in the world. But you got to find a way to improve this team, and you got to find a way to get these stars going. Hopefully, Soto is only a day or two, or he's back in the lineup later today. Hopefully, that's not an issue. Doesn't sound like it will be, but he's got to be better. Lindor's got to be better. Alonso's got to be better. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Yankees and their cavalcade of issues as well as Anthony Volpe. Just when you think you could start, and I put out a tweet like an idiot, just as you started to think even after the first error in the first inning that cost them two runs. He has a good offensive game. You're starting to build something with Anthony Volpe, and then he strikes again. We got to get to that. Max Fried, the Yankees offense without Aaron Judge, what do they do at the trade deadline as well, obviously, as we are a day away, and they are throwing out a shortstop who can't play the position. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on the Fan. So your call's next, as we got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Mick Monagle here with you till then. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Back with your calls next on the Fan. I forget the name of it now, but like it's a behind-the-scenes wrestling doc on Netflix. It is awesome. It is so fascinating. Unreal, is that the name of it? I watched the first episode. It's really fascinating. It's really good. And with the passing of Hulk Hogan the other day, you know, it's amazing how different, like, the world is now with the professional wrestling, at least. You know, the world's very different in every aspect. But with professional, like, because I was also watching, first of all, wrestling docs in general are tremendous. Like, all the WWE, WWF documentaries, they're all tremendous. My favorite one is the Monday Night Wars. The documentary on the Monday Night Wars between WCW and WWE. It's an unbelievable documentary. It is so good. But I like to watch all of them, and they came out with one about WrestleMania 9. And I guess WrestleMania 9 was the first one. They really tried to make a spectacle of it. It was at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and they brought in elephants and llamas, and like they wanted to make it the world's biggest toga party. And so they started to like put behind the scenes cameras to document it, although they haven't used any of the footage up until recently when they released this documentary, and this is going back, you know, 30 years now. But you could see how uncomfortable all of the wrestling stars are, because you could not show outside. Like, the Undertaker has a camera put on him behind the scenes, and you could tell he's like, what are you, get this camera off me. This is my only time to not be the Undertaker. Like, in every aspect of my life in public, I have to be the Undertaker, because that's how it was. There was no behind the scenes. You were the character. And now they're doing documentaries and they're openly showing the meetings where they're deciding who wins the matches. Like, it's just so different. It used to be they would push back on this narrative that it was quote unquote fake. And fake isn't necessarily fair, because as you see, these people get hurt. It is a difficult job. They work crazy hours and touring, and they're on the road 250 days, 300 days a year. And so fake isn't the right word, but it's obviously scripted, and they decide who wins, and they decide how things go. They decide almost every aspect of the match, as you found out in the documentary, which I thought was interesting. But like, it's so unique, because as a kid, it was like, he was the Undertaker. He was Hulk Hogan. He was Macho Man Randy Savage. There was no backstory. That's who they were. He was Papa Shango. Like, it didn't matter. Like, those were the people. And now they let you in and show you, you know, how the sausage is made. And it's, I don't know, I find it fascinating. I think it was really a good documentary. If you have a few, go watch that. It was really good. If you're one of these hoity-toity people who don't like Happy Gilmore 2, you can go watch. And shame on all of you. The Happy Gilmore 2 killing is just ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. What did you think the Happy Gilmore 2 was going to be? He got a bunch of cameos. He laid on the nostalgia to really bring it back to the previous movie. It's also a straight-to-Netflix movie. It's not even in the theater. It's a straight-Netflix homage to the original movie. And it had funny moments. Was it laugh out loud funny? Like, maybe once or twice, maybe three times. Was it nearly as good as the original? No, not nearly as good as the original. But it served its purpose. I enjoyed watching every second of it. Like, what's wrong with you people?
And let's be honest about something here. Adam Sandler has had some duds.
Yes.
This is not one of Adam Sandler's duds.
This isn't the one where Jack and Jill with Al Pacino.
Oh, Dunkachino?
The Dunkachino, yeah. Now, that was god-awful. There's some really bad Adam Sandler movies.
Just go with it?
Which one was that?
I think that's the one with Jennifer Aniston, right?
Yeah, was that the one where he, like, pretends to be married, and then he gets, like...
Yeah.
He uses a wedding ring to get women, and then he has to make up his ex-wife, you know, so that wasn't so bad.
What was that? Dave Matthews in that one, too.
Yeah, Dave Matthews is dating, like, Nicole Kidman, right? I think Nicole Kidman and Dave Matthews are, like, a couple at this.
Yeah, because, like, why not?
Yeah. And then another bad one was the one where him and Drew, why am I blanking on the last name?
Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, Jesus. Drew Barrymore and him, like, are both, like, have families, and they end up getting on the same trip to Africa. Yeah, that movie was terrible.
Oof.
That was a bad one. The Jack and Jill was a terrible one. The Halloween movie.
Hubie's Halloween.
Yeah, that was god-awful. But, like, even that, you knew what he was trying to do. Like, you know, he's Adam Sandler. He's the best.
Hey, listen, Netflix gave him a ton of money. That's putting out the movies.
All right, let's get back to the sports. There's time for movie segments. We'll do it a little bit later. Trying to find a good movie this weekend. We'll see if I have time. I don't have any time, let's be honest.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to do a movie segment on Mondays, and I'm just like, I work Saturdays. You know, baseball games are on Friday nights. Then I got the kids all day Saturday, and Sunday I got to prepare for shows. I'm coming back in Monday. Like, when would I have time to sit down and watch a two-hour movie? I just don't.
Well, part of your show preparation on Sunday could be a movie.
I understand that, but it's got to be watching the games, too. 888-808-1019. Well, Steve wants to talk about the Yankees. Obviously, Anthony Volpe. I'll get more into it. I'll take Steve's call. We'll take Yankee calls. But obviously, Anthony Volpe yet again showing. And to me, we'll get into all the different particulars. But just real quick on Anthony Volpe and his defense. If you watch the game, in the first inning, runner on first, ground ball up the middle, has, I don't know if it's an easy double play, but if the play is turned correctly, it has a very good chance of being a double play, but you have to get an out there. He rushes an easy toss to a cutting to the bag Jazz and overextends him, leading to first and second, which leads to a two-run base hit, which, listen, to be fair, Max Fried doesn't have to give up a base hit to, what was it, the seventh or eighth hitter to give up two runs? He could have gotten that out. But that mistake leads to two runs. Then he actually plays a really good game. And offensively, he's been much better. He gets an RBI base hit to give them the lead at 4-3. Then he hits the longest home run of his career. And one of the longer home runs hit by a Yankee this season. As he goes 452 to right center field. And instead of rolling over on an outside pitch, he drives it to right center field for a 450-foot bomb, and he's got five home runs since the All-Star break. Five. Now, I know we'd all rather see him slap the ball around and do whatever, but five home runs? There's not many shortstops in baseball that have more home runs than Anthony Volpe or driven in more runs than Anthony Volpe. And that's not to say he's had a good year. He's been disastrous, but I'm just saying. Like, if his game is going to be home runs and RBIs and play great defense, sign me up. If it's not we'd rather have him hit 290. But if that's not his game, and his game is power and RBIs, and playing, all of it is predicated on playing excellent defense, which clearly he is a disaster. But if he's going to be that type of hitter, I'm okay with that type of hitter. It's not ideal for this team. I think we all agree with that. I'd rather have the 290 hitter who slaps the ball all over the place, gets on base at a high clip, and steals bases like he did in this game. Steals third, puts pressure on the Rays. The Rays make mistakes too. They had a line drive hit right at him. They make a mistake on that. They push the envelope, stealing bases. The Rays throw the ball into the outfield. Volpe comes in to score. So Volpe gets an RBI single, steals bases, leads to another run, puts pressure on the defense, hits a long home run, and you're thinking, all right, disastrous first. The Yankees overcame it. They have a three-run lead. He just made it a three-run lead with another bomb of a home run. You're feeling good about it. He turned a double play on a good, you know, a play he's got to make. I'm not saying it was a spectacular play, but in an inning where, you know, if you were watching the game, Jonathan Loaisiga comes in to get out of the seventh, and then in the eighth inning gives up two leadoff singles, and it's first and second, nobody out, and you're thinking, here, they're going to blow the game with Jonathan Loaisiga on the mound. And instead, it's a one-hop kind of lumping, humping line drive. He makes a good scoop, makes a good pick on it, turns a double play, and I'm thinking, okay, miserable first inning. That cannot happen. We all agree. But he's having a good game here. He's having a good game. Anthony Volpe's impacted the winning of this game. I still think he's a positive in this game. And then in the ninth inning, what should have been the final play of the game, while Devin Williams is battling an umpire squeezing him, he gets an easy ground ball that has to end the game 100 out of 100 times, as Jack Curry said in the postgame, and he is so far inside his head that he fields it on his back, on his heels, after letting it take an extra hop. Then he, like, crow hops twice, pumps into his glove, and then throws the ball in the dirt. That, to be fair, Paul Goldschmidt, a Gold Glove caliber first baseman, should make the scoop, but it's not on him. It's on Anthony Volpe not to just throw it in his chest. And you leave the game going, the Yankees have another, I mean, just a major problem defensively with Anthony Volpe at shortstop. And I just don't, like, and again, Anthony Volpe does not have a strong arm. We knew that from the minute he came up. Anthony Volpe does not have a good arm for a shortstop. It's serviceable. He won a Gold Glove with it. He gets it out quickly, and he's made up for it, and it's never really killed him. There are plays he can't make that some others can, of course. But his arm has never really been a major factor in him being able to play the position, and his arm strength had absolutely nothing to do with some of the errors, and particularly this one in the ninth inning last night, because that's just an easy throw that every shortstop can make. He's more than capable of making that throw. It's not like his arm precludes him from making that throw. He is just, he knows that's the final out. It's in a pressure situation. He's getting booed from the fan base. He's made the most errors in Major League Baseball. And all of that weighs on him in that moment. And he had too much time to think about it, and he threw the ball in the dirt. He is, I don't know if you want to call it the yips. I don't know if you want to call it just, you know, mentally broken. I don't know what's going on with Anthony Volpe, but it is beyond just the idea that he's not physically good at the position. I'm sorry. You could go back to his rookie year and say, I watched every play of that rookie season and he didn't deserve the Gold Glove. That's fine. You want to say someone else was better than him? That's fine. But you don't win the Gold Glove as a terrible shortstop. You don't win the Gold Glove playing like he's played it. He was a far better defensive player the last 2 years. Whether that's Gold Glove worthy or not, you can't argue he was far better. He's capable of playing the position. I know people get mad when Aaron Boone says it. Maybe you can get mad when I say it. He is more than capable of playing the position. You want to say he's not a Gold Glover? Fine, I'm not going to argue with you. But he's capable of being a good shortstop. Something's up with him mentally. And I'm hoping that his offense, as it's picked up, will help pick up his defense. But last night was an example of that's not going to be the case because he had a good offensive game. He was impacting the winning. He put pressure. He stole bases. He got an RBI single. He hit a big home run to give Devin Williams extra breathing room. Like, he did everything you'd want him to do offensively. And still, with the game on the line, he can't make the easiest of throws. I don't know what's going on with him. And quite honestly, as much as I've told you and will try and tell you that offensively he's getting better, you can't play a shortstop in big games who can't make easy throws. Like, you just can't. You can't. How are you going to go into a postseason game with a guy that you're terrified every time the ball's hit to him? And more important than us being terrified, he's terrified. It's a major problem. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Oh, Chris, that was good, man. I'm laughing at what you just said. Listen, it's so puzzling, you know, and I got to tell you something. I know there's nothing wrong with his arm. Do you remember when Stroman did the cream puff throw and he got the ball and he turned that double play? The ball was hit back to Stroman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a double play ball. And instead of kind of zipping the ball, he threw this cream puff throw.
Yeah.
And he got it and he just whizzed it. Like when he didn't think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's part of it too. Yeah, I think that's part. I think the thinking. Now, I mean, there's a chance that because people want to point back to when he hurt his other shoulder and maybe he's dealing with something. I'm not going to say that his arm hasn't taken a hit and it's even worse than it's been. Maybe that's the case. But But the play you're talking about, he was capable of throwing it harder than that. The play in Toronto that led to a couple runs on the easiest of plays, that's a throw he's more than capable of making. Last night in the ninth inning, that's a throw that his arm is more than capable of making. He's in his head. He is scared out there.
They got to remedy this. You know, I'm sure they got sports psychologists and everything.
Yeah, no, they definitely got
to remedy this. They got to straighten this out with him. And I got to tell you, it can't be physical because you can't hit a ball to the opposite field like that if you're hindered in any way. You can't. I don't see the whole thing. Like I said, is just very puzzling. And you know, in a big spot in a playoff game. Oh my.
No, I agree with you. And that's a good point. That's a good point about the home run too. I didn't even think about that. If he's really dealing with a major shoulder problem, I don't think you're taking an outside fastball and hitting it 452 the other way. I really don't.
You cannot.
I think you're right. I think that's a good point.
Mash.
Yeah.
You can't mash the ball like that, man. And don't be sitting near his father if you start booing either.
I know.
I mean, that's another. But we won't even get into. I don't want to digress.
Well, and thank you for the call. That was at Citi Field. It wasn't like Yankee fans. That was probably another fan. That was a Met fan getting on his son, and so he felt. And who knows what the kid said or what the guy said? Probably something that was crossing the line. I don't know. Fans say dumb things.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It is. If he's really injured, I don't know if you hit a ball 452 feet like that the other way. I think that's a fair point. Maybe you still could. And again, it was the other. It was his glove arm. It wasn't his throwing arm. Now, listen, if it's bothering you on one side, you definitely could be hindered throwing the baseball. I'm not saying that it couldn't be the case. But if your front arm is a hitter, your front shoulder is a major problem, you think you're going to drive that ball the other way, 452 feet? I think that's a fair point. That's an argument against the idea he's really dealing with something bad in his shoulder. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's he needs a sports psychologist or to be sent down. And you know, it's funny because I've been getting hit. I put out a tweet to the effect of what I just said about he's scared and, you know, he's mentally broken here and he's, you know, he's more than capable of making the throws, but it's a, you know, it's a mental problem. I can't tell you how many people hit me up and go, stop making excuses for him. That's an excuse. I'm saying the dude is mentally weak. I'm making excuses for him. That's not an excuse. I'm saying something's up with him. You think he's so bad he can't make that throw? Like, honestly, call me up. If you're a Yankee fan or you're a Yankee hater and you want to get on Anthony Volpe, and you've got every right. I mean, last night, defensively, it's unacceptable the way he played. As good as his offensive game was last night, it's unacceptable to play defense the way he played. He cost them 2 runs in the first, and he might have cost them the game. Can you imagine if they would have lost that game? If Williams hangs a changeup on the next pitch and it's a 3-run bomb and the Yankees are losing going to the bottom of the ninth on a game like this that they need desperately, and we'll get more into the actual game. I was trying to take some Met calls at 888-808-1019, but a Volpe call snuck in, so I wanted to just at least give the Volpe take. But obviously a huge win for the New York Yankees. Great start from Max Fried. Bellinger, how important has this dude been? And an offense that everybody wrote off as boring and can't watch and they're terrible without Aaron Judge, at least for one night, comes through and scores 7 runs. And, you know, Pound's a pitcher that had an under 2 ERA, albeit in a brief stint as a major league pitcher. But we'll get more into that as we get to the show, 888-808-1019. But, like, if you want to call up, tell me that you believe that Anthony Volpe's arm and skill set are the issue and that he's not physically talented enough, that he won a gold glove 2 years ago. A gold glove. The Yankees didn't give it to him. He didn't win the best Yankee shortstop at the presentation of the participation trophies that everybody thinks Aaron Boone hands out. He won Major League Baseball's gold glove, voted upon. Now, you could argue someone else deserved it. That's fine. Everybody has their opinions. But you're not a terrible shortstop if you're voted the gold glove winner. Do you honestly believe that play in the ninth inning, he's physically on it, his tool set does not allow him to make that play? That to say that it's the yips or that he's got some sort of fear inside of him when the game is on the line or whatever the case may be, that he's dealing with something mentally, is making excuses for his physical attributes? Stop it. Stop it. I'm not making excuses. I'm getting on him for the problem. The problem is he's afraid. You want me to admit it? You want me to admit it? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And once a shortstop's afraid, that's it. It's over. It's not over. It shouldn't be over for Anthony Volpe. But that's what it feels like. It feels like he's mentally scared to make the play. That's a damning criticism as far as I'm concerned. That's not making excuses. You honestly believe he can't make that throw, that his arm is physically unable because he's got a noodle arm, that he can't make the same throw he's been making for the first 2 years of his career. Stop. Something's up with him. Something mentally is up with Anthony Volpe. He's dealing with getting booed in his own building again. I think it has a lot to do with that. I'm not trying to scold the Yankee fans, but I'll be totally honest with you. Like, as a Yankee fan, I have a real tough time booing, and I have a tough time with Yankee fans who want to boo Anthony Volpe, especially watching the kid. Booing him is not going to change how the Yankees feel about him. Booing him is not going to change how the Yankees treat him or bench him or do what you think should happen. All it's doing is making the kid go deeper into his shell. Like, you're not helping the New York Yankees by booing him. I'm not saying you got to have a Francisco Lindor-esque or obviously a Trey Turner-esque who made it famous in Philadelphia, sort of like rousing, standing ovation. We love you, Anthony, at the beginning of every game. I'm not suggesting that. But this kid grew up a Yankee fan. Everybody who he grew up with watches the games. Everybody knows he's going through something. Everybody knows that everyone's calling this radio station saying, get him off my team. I can't stand his face. Like, he's going through it. And the last thing he needs is the fan base booing him on a play yesterday. It was kind of tough. Or 2 days ago. Last night, 2 disgusting plays. The other night, that was a hard ground ball, three hopper, you know, in the hole. He's probably not going to make that play anyway. But we really want to boo Anthony Volpe? Like, I'm sorry, it's about helping the team as a fan, isn't it? Is it about, I paid my money and I get to show my emotion, which is 100% accurate. You do. You paid your money, you get to express how you feel any way you want, unless it's violent or, you obviously, you get it. But isn't the point of a fan to try and help the, you know, to try and help the team, or to be there to support the team, be the 12th man like in Seattle, or be a fan base and create a home field advantage? Or is it to make it harder for the young shortstop to find his way out of it? What's the plan? What's the job of a fan? I paid my money and I'm going to let Anthony Volpe know, like he doesn't know already. I'm going to let Anthony Volpe know I'm pissed at him. I'm going to make it harder for him to be better. I'm going to make it worse for the New York Yankees and for him who's playing every day. But that's my right as a fan. Okay. Do you. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I can tell you I would never do it. And if your instinct is to hurt the team because you hate them so much because they haven't won a championship since 09, because they've been so mediocre as they went to the World Series last year, that you can't stand to think of them, look at them, hate them, Cashman, Boone, the whole lot of them, and Anthony Volpe has now, you know, thrusted himself right into the mix of that. You want to boo the kid and make things harder for him? Good. That's a good job out of you. Let's go to Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Well, I see Mac.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good. Where was that documentary? Is that Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Yeah. What was the name of it again, Zoo?
Unreal.
Unreal. It's on Netflix. It's really fascinating. It starts with the January opening of Raw on Netflix. That time period is where the documentary kind of starts.
Well, you mean the first Raw ever?
No. The first Raw on Netflix last January.
January of
2005. This year, this January.
So it kind of starts
that time period leading into WrestleMania and everything, the Royal Rumble. But that's where it starts.
Right. Okay. I'll have to check that. I remember you mentioned WrestleMania 9. I remember Bobby Heenan coming in backwards on the the elephant or the camel wearing the toga.
Yep.
So yeah.
And then the infamous the black eye from Hogan, and he ends up winning the championship, even though he wasn't slated to win the championship.
Bret
Hart tells him to go in there and take on Yokozuna. Yeah.
Well,
and it was an interesting storyline in that documentary, too, about how, you know, it was really because Vegas and Caesar's Palace was like, no, Hulk Hogan wins the championship. We're putting a lot of money in this. We're trying to get people to come. What do you mean Hulk Hogan's not involved in the main event?
Yeah, I was annoyed about how that whole thing went.
Yeah.
So before I get to the Mets, I just find it a little funny, your reaction to people's reactions about Happy Gilmore too. When I was making the same argument a couple of weeks ago about how with Superman, because how everybody was reacting to
right.
it, you know. I think there is a difference.
The only difference I'll say is this is a sequel 30 years later to a random comedy that, you know, that they're trying to like pay homage to. It's a direct to Netflix type movie where Superman is an enormous big budget movie they were expecting to make and did make, I guess, a ton of money over the opening weekend. It's Superman. I know it's like another reboot, but it's just like, I don't know. They're trying to accomplish two different things. I have higher expectations of the next Superman movie than I do an hour and a half long comedy that I know half of it is going to be about Eminem and Travis Kelce making, you know, cameos in it.
Right. Well, no, I get that. But you see, the thing I had the issue with, because I said the same thing to Gia when I called up and I was saying, you know what you're going to see when you're going into the movie.
Okay, that's fair. That angle of it is fair.
He didn't quite know what I meant by that.
Yeah.
And what I meant by that was, you know, you're going in to see a superhero movie. Everybody's seen it. It's funny. I'm assuming you still haven't seen it yet, right?
I have not, no.
Okay, so I'm not going to give anything away. but some of the arguments that were made, especially one by Mike,
yeah.
Francesa, about, you know, saying that he gets his butt kicked throughout the whole movie, which is not true anyway. But if you looked at, there's been 7 Superman movies by themselves, not counting other things that he's been in, and not once does he go around kicking anyone else's butt. Not once. Okay? I mean, he performs feats of strength and other things,
uh-huh.
but not once does he go around, you know, if you look at all the movies, right, and I've seen them all, as you can imagine.
He doesn't beat anybody up?
He has normal fights with guys that are on the same power level as he is.
There's
not one... You know,
well, that's not true, because in the Christopher Reeves one, he beats up that guy who beat him up in the diner. And he spins him like a top on the chair and then throws the meatloaf in his face.
You can't count the same. That's a regular guy going up against him.
That's what I'm saying. And Eric, and I'm sorry, but we used all of your time on... we didn't get any Met talk in there because I got a break. Big Zoo's giving me the break sign. But yeah, he walked... was it Superman 3 or Superman 2 where he takes his powers away so he could be with Lois, and he goes to that diner and he gets his ass kicked by the regular guy, and then he comes back after he retakes his powers and, you know, returns the favor in kind. Those movies, I loved the Christopher Reeves Superman movies when I was a kid. Zod scared the hell out of me. I mean, they were in, you know, ridiculous leotards that now you look back and you're like, why was that the outfit they had on? But like, General Zod scared the hell out of me. And the other guy with the beard who couldn't really talk. Those were scary movies. And then which one was it? Superman 4, where it's like some superhero that gets the power from the sun and Richard Pryor is in it and everything. Yeah, it didn't get as good after that. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. So a little bit of movie talk in the first hour, but obviously a lot of baseball as well. As we'll get into more of the Yankee game. Obviously the Mets lose last night 7-1. Buteau comes in, and then Devinsky does not pitch well at all. Devinsky gives up the 3-run bomb to Machado. The top of the order does nothing for the Mets. The offense had opportunities in this game. They do not come through. As great as Manaea has been, 5 innings, 1 run, it's the 5 innings that has been the problem, not the 1 run. And how does this team that's been attached to everyone from top relievers to top rotation pieces to Luis Robert and other center fielders, how does David Stearns go out there and impact what they need to impact, which is, to me, as much as I would tell you the offense has been the bigger issue all year, I don't think there's somebody who impacts the offense enough to make a difference if Soto, Lindor, and Alonso don't get their hits. And right now, especially Lindor and Alonso have not. Thankfully, Soto's not hurt all that bad. The x-rays came back clean, so he should be back in the lineup in a day or two. But this trade deadline, how do you fix the overworked bullpen and a rotation that doesn't give you innings? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll get to the Yankees a little bit next, more than just Anthony Volpe. And we'll take your calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Back after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.